You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU 91.9 FM in Jonesboro. I'm Mark Smith. Joining me by phone today is U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me.
I want to talk about some of the recent legislation that you've been working on. First of all, you just co-sponsored some legislation pertaining to the Second Amendment. It's a bill that, as I understand it, would allow a person with a state-issued permit to carry a firearm to be free to cross state lines.
Yes, exactly. The way it would work is you go ahead, go through all of the background, the training in your particular state, meet those requirements, and then you would be able to go into another state that had a concealed carry law and be able to, do that and not be in jeopardy of breaking the law. Much like your driver's license, you get a driver's license in a state, and then that's recognized throughout the United States.
Mm-hmm. This could get confusing, though, when state laws are quite different regarding gun laws.
Well, I think that's the challenge, is to try and work those things out. But I do think it makes a lot of sense. Many states have decided that, that this is a good thing in having the ability to carry a concealed firearm. And so what we're trying to do is make it such that we can have the ability to cross state lines without being in jeopardy.
Is this, in a way, setting up kind of a national gun rights policy?
Well, ultimately, I think the Constitution is very clear, that we have that ability. And so what we'd like to do is really not do it, nationalize it, but make it such that the states carry this out. Again, we've seen it with driver's license. We've seen it with other things. And we'd like for that to be the model. But the important thing is that I believe very strongly that we do have the Second Amendment right to be able to carry a concealed weapon. And so we would like to be able to make it such that it's as easy as possible to do that.
Now, you've also introduced some legislation to open up U.S. markets to Africa. What's the potential of African markets?
Oh, the potential in Africa is great. And most people say, it's kind of the only left really emerging market. But when you look at the growth of these developing countries over there, they're really pretty astronomical. And so they're doing well. It's a great opportunity. The Chinese are in there trying to establish not only a foothold, but just, really trying to take things over in the sense of those resources. So I think if there is an answer to our problems with the economy and stuff, one of the things that really is going to hinge on is having a good export potential. It's amazing. Arkansas exported, I think, $5.2 billion worth of stuff overseas in 2010. And so these are the kind of things we'd like to grow. And it would be a great market for the people of Arkansas, the people of America, to sell to as they develop.
Why have we not had trade with some of these African nations?
Well, we've really, when you look at the history of trade, we've really had all of this globalization in the last, 10 or 15 years. And so Africa's pretty remote. They have had a lot of problems with their infrastructure. They don't have good roads, the things that we take for granted. There's a lot of borders to cross, and so when they're crossing borders, there's a kickback at the border going into the next country, those kind of things. But they've worked really hard to overcome that. And so I think there's just a lot of opportunity there, lots of natural resources that we can use. And then, again, as the economies develop, lots of potential to buy American goods. People throughout the world want American goods because of the quality.
What's some other legislation you've been working on lately?
Well, the other thing that we're really proud just passed the Senate and the House is a bill that would actually get about $5 million down to the Marshals Museum in Fort Smith. Mm-hmm. The National Marshals Museum will be located there. It was selected. Now they're in the process of raising the funds. But this, through the sale of the coins, no taxpayer dollars involved, but minting these coins and selling them, the first $5 million of profit would go towards the museum. And so I think that's something we can be very proud of in the state. Myself, Mark Pryor, worked really hard on that. Congressman Womack, Congressman Ross, really the entire delegation chipped in. and as a result was able to get that done.
I know last week our Arkansas First District Congressman Rick Crawford announced a proposal that he said was meant as a compromise to get some progress on debt reduction and responsible budgeting. He's proposing allowing taxes to be raised on the top 1%, I believe, of incomes in exchange for the passage of a balanced budget amendment. Now, you immediately came out against this idea. Why?
Well, I think most economists agree right now is not the time to raise taxes. Especially as we're going in with these very high gas prices, which are just a killer, and the gas prices illustrate the fact that we need an energy policy, to lower this. But I don't think it's the right time to raise taxes. About 65% of this would be job creators, and so that's not the answer. We need to quit spending more than we have and really do need to reduce spending. So I think Rick is really concerned, though, about the deficit. He's concerned about passing this on to his children, and this is just an effort to come up with something. You know, how do we stop the red ink? But I'm a guy that feels like that we need to cut spending. We could start with that with a budget. The Senate hasn't had a budget now in almost 3 years, which is just hard to believe. Legislatively, there's a law in place that says that we have to do that, and yet we haven't. So those are the things I think that we need to get under control and use those building blocks, and then we'll see where we're at.
Well, do you really think it's possible to cut spending enough to balance the budget without any tax increases anywhere?
I think that you have to cut spending to show the American public that you're serious about doing the right thing, about making the choices. If not, the public, if you did raise their taxes, they feel like it's just going into a black hole. So we've got to cut the waste. We've got to consolidate programs. Senator Coburn had the GAO give a report about duplication of services. We've got maybe 60 agencies in some cases that do the same thing. And as all you're paying for is administrative. Everyone agrees that 10% of Medicare and Medicaid is waste and fraud. We talk about these things, but we've actually got to start doing them. So I think you start there. I do think that, how do you do these things without having a basic budget? I mean, we understand that as, business people. We understand that as households. So we need to get back to that, and then we'll see where we're at.
We talked about gas prices. You mentioned, I believe last month when we spoke, about the increased demand in overseas markets like China is having a major impact on our gas prices. These prices do seem to change at the whim of the market. So how much effect can the president, any president or any government for that matter, have on gas prices?
Well, I think the president can have tremendous impact. Right now, our current president is running around the country talking about how drilling has increased in the last few years. That's true, but the drilling that has increased fairly significantly is on public lands. That was put into place under the Bush administration. And again, I'm not being partisan in the sense that we need to do a much better job regardless of the administration. But you look in the last 3 years, the drilling on public lands has gone down dramatically. So we need an energy policy. We have the ability. In fact, I was listening the other day driving into work in Washington on an NPR station, and they were talking about that right now with the new drilling techniques and stuff, we have the ability to use the American resources that we have, and in 10 years we could be energy independent. So not only, would that make us such that we're not dependent on Saudi Arabia and Venezuela and places like that don't like us, but you can imagine if we quit sending $300 billion overseas every year, if we kept that at home, what that would do to the economy. So, yeah, the president, can play a big role. He can put things in place. 10 years ago, I was standing, at where Anwar's at, talking about the need with a footprint about the size of the airport in Chicago, drilling there, using those resources. And the argument then was, it'll take 10 years. Well, 10 years is here. Again, if we had that online, it really would lower the price. We talk a lot about supply and demand. We've seen what it's done with natural gas. We have an 80 to 100-year supply of natural gas. Now, you don't see that price fluctuating a lot. It's low, and it's going to stay low for the foreseeable future.
Is speculation in the markets a problem?
It is a problem, and part of that is driven by the fact that it looks like that there's a fair chance that Israel will have to strike Iran over the, you know, they're developing a nuclear bomb. No one knows exactly what that'll do to the market, how Iran will react, if they'll sink a boat, a ship in the strait, blocking that, or they might very well strike the Saudi Arabian oil fields just in an effort to retaliate against the West. It's hard to control speculation, and speculation might account for 40 or 50 cents of that, but much of the speculation that's being done is being done by overseas markets, which we have no control over at all.
Well, since you talk about Israel and Iran, Iran is, of course, always a concern. What should the U.S. role be in that situation?
Well, to our credit, we have, you know, been the leader in very, very tough sanctions on Iran, and those are making an effect with their economy and things like that. Sadly, though, it looks like their leadership, doesn't really care. They're pushing forward, and in the near future, we'll have the ability and probably develop a nuclear bomb. The problem is, if they go nuclear, and again, I've had the opportunity to be in these countries and visit with them. If they go nuclear, then Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Turkey, all of those countries will go nuclear. You have nuclear proliferation in the Middle East, so that's certainly not going to make any of this safer. And the first thing they've said they'll do if they have the bomb is blow Israel off the face of the earth. So Israel is in a very difficult situation. I think we need to do our best to continue with the sanctions, toughen those up, work with our allies. On the other hand, certainly if Israel feels like it has to do this, if they actually do create a bomb, then I think we need to be very supportive of the nation of Israel.
As long as we're talking about the Middle East, the situation in Afghanistan has been further complicated by this horrible shooting incident by an American soldier.
It really has, and that's so sad. You know, this guy, to kill women and children and things is inexcusable, and justice will run its course in that regard, but on the other hand, it's made things much, much worse, you know, where you don't feel protected around your, you know, people that you consider your allies. So we're having a lot of testimony this week, I think next week, with the generals that are involved. And I look forward to really hearing what they've got to say. You know, one of the things I think we should have learned from Vietnam is that we should micromanage wars at the congressional level. So I place great stock in their ability. They've done a tremendous job. We can be so proud of our servicemen and women. But again, you know, I'm anxious to hear where they see this going. I know that the people of Arkansas, the people of America, want to wind this up as quickly as we can.
Yeah, it's been difficult for a lot of folks to understand why this particular soldier was even there. We're talking a fourth deployment of a man who had a traumatic brain injury and obviously had some issues in reassimilating into society.
Well, I think that's a very valid question. You know, what the deal is, and those are things that we need to work through too. And yet, regardless of the circumstances, there's never any excuse for doing what he did. So we'll have to work through that. The deployments are very tough. They're hard on individuals. They're hard on families. My dad did 20 years in the Air Force, and I know how tough it is when mom or dad are gone for extended periods of time on the rest of the family in coping. So, I know that myself, the people of Arkansas, the people of America would like to see the war wound down as quickly as possible. And yet, you know, we don't want to leave the place where it descends back into chaos.
Right.
We want to make it such that they have the ability to go forward with a stable situation that's not a breeding ground for terrorists.
Of course, the situation in Syria is intensifying. The UN, of course, calling for a ceasefire and proposing a peace plan. Heard some rumors of Russian forces possibly moving in to defend al-Assad. Is there any truth to those rumors?
Well, I don't think we know. The Russians, you know, have been very, very supportive. This is a regime that's killed thousands and thousands of its own people. You know, it's a very, very difficult situation. Most of the world has turned, you know, on them. A lot of the Arab world has turned on them. The Russians are about their, and the Chinese are about their only friends left. And so we're going to have to see how this develops. But it is a very, very difficult situation. The Middle East is, you know, in turmoil. Europe is in turmoil because of the debt over there. You know, they talk about, you know, Greece. Greece can be propped up. But countries like Italy and Spain, they're too big to fail, but they're too big to save. And there's great concern there that will have a domino effect, and that really will affect all of us. So just lots of problems throughout the world that that we're trying to be helpful in.
I've got to wrap this up very quickly. A GOP presidential race, of course, very much up in the air. Do you expect that to go all the way down to the wire?
I don't think so. I think, you know, that Romney is probably going to, you know, pull this thing out. But I said that, you know, weeks ago.
Exactly.
One of the guys, you know, that's right up there with it, Rick Santorum, you know, 6-8 weeks ago was polling about 2%, you know, so who knows. But I do think that whoever it is, and I think it probably will be Romney, by the time this thing is over, he'll be battle-tested and really ready to go into a very, very tough election.
All right, Senator John Bozeman, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, as always.